Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning and welcome to worship online here at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm one of the pastors that serves at our congregation. My name is Reverend Lindsay Hall, and I'm glad you're here to worship with us online today. We would love to know that you are here if you'd please take a moment to visit our website, which is www.brightonfumc.org. And we'd love to know that you're here by checking out our connection card. By filling out your connection card, it shares up-to-date information with us, and it gives you an opportunity to connect to the greater life of the church. There's opportunities to connect through music or mission, of course, children and student ministries, and you can share with us any of those caring ministry opportunities that you might need if you would like to have contact or connection with one of the pastors here. We're so glad that you're here. Also a part of worship today, we're starting a new sermon series called You're Invited. You're invited to come and be a part of our church congregation. You're invited to come and know Jesus Christ personally. You're invited, and we would love to have you a part of our church congregation. But you're also invited to extend an invitation to others to be a part of this church community. And one really easy way to do that is by sharing this worship video. Maybe you're on Facebook and you'd like to go ahead and share this worship video. Invite somebody else to come find our church community. Maybe they're looking for a spiritual home. So we'd love it for you to take a moment to share this video. Today, at the end of our worship service, we have a special treat. The Young People's Worship Arts Theater Music Camp was just a few weeks ago, and they're going to be sharing a musical with us. They did it live at our Brighton Sanctuary last week, and if you didn't have an opportunity to see their musical, which was called Back to the Beginning, we would encourage you to stay on at the close of this worship service. We will be showing it at the end of today's service if you missed it live and in person at Brighton last week. So stay on, and we would love for you to see our musical camp, Back to the Beginning. It was led by Susan Snow and wonderful, wonderful children that were a part of that musical camp. You're really going to enjoy it. Well, now, if you are ready, we are ready to begin worshiping together. So I invite you to light a candle, center, and calm yourself. May it be a reminder of God's presence always with us. And now let's lift up our hearts in a time of song and in a time of praise. Let's join together in singing.
One, two, one, two, three, four. Mountain we stand on.
cling to what you promised till the day you call us home. When our faith become a mountain we stand on. We'll stand unaffected by the chaos. We will stand no matter what the cost. No more worry, no more fear. Every doubt will disappear. We will stand unaffected by the chaos. We will stand no matter what the cost. No more worry, no more fear. Every doubt will disappear. No more worry. No more fear, every doubt will disappear. Let our faith become a mountain that will rise and never fall. Lift it high above the valley, we declare your kingdom come. We will cling to what you promised till the day you call us home. Let our faith become a mountain that will rise and never fall. Lift it high above the valley, declare your kingdom come. We will cling to what you promised till the day you call us home. Let our faith become the mountain we stand on.
Amen. Good morning. Here's our opening prayer. Dear Jesus, we are grateful that we know you. In knowing you, we are called to discipleship. Help us to bring your message to others through our actions and by our invitation. Give us strength to live for you in all that we do. In your name we pray. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, paralytics, and cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to take a chance and invite somebody into this great mystery of faith. Amen. Well, I, for one, probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my grandfather. In so many ways, he's played a significant and influential part of my life. For those of you who may not be aware, my grandfather is also a United Methodist pastor ordained in this tradition, in this faith, and served in the Michigan area for over 40 years. He's an excellent role model and in many ways responsible, I would say, for getting me into ministry in the first place. A couple of years ago, we had an opportunity to go to our annual conference together, which is this time where lay folks from the church and clergy get together to talk about and make significant decisions about the future and direction of the church. And my grandfather and I had a chance to go together, and we were sitting together at one of the sessions, and the session ended, and we got to talking about what a miracle it was that I ended up in ministry. And I turned to him and just said, thanks. And tears started coming down my eyes as I recognized that it really was him in many respects that pulled me into ordained ministry and encouraged me to follow God's call on my life into ministry. And my grandfather has the saying that if Jesus was able to significantly impact the lives of 12 people, that most ministers, and it's not to say we don't have impacts on lots of people's lives in small ways, but to really alter the trajectory of somebody's life, he says, in my ministry, I can think of three people, and you're one of my three. And of course, at that point, you know, we both became faucets as we both teared up, realizing what a significant impact my grandfather had made on my life. In this particular gospel story, we see this image that's easy for us to imagine because it's on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and the men who had become disciples of Jesus were pulling in their catch, and Jesus walks up to them and says, "Come and follow me. If you do this, I will make of you fishers of men." He encouraged them to drop their nets, to set them aside, to quit what they were doing, what they were comfortable doing, what they probably had been trained to do, to catch fish on the Sea of Galilee and follow Jesus into this whole new life of, instead of fishing for fish, fishing for humans, fishing for people, fishing in ministry. Jesus was looking for disciples when he asked these first four fishermen to follow him. He was asking them to change their lives and their livelihoods, give up on the familiar, enter into the unknown, take a chance, take a risk, something that they weren't trained to do. They had no formal training in some cases as fishermen. He was asking them to take a risk. And some of us, we feel a calling on our own life. We hear God's voice asking us to do various things in the world. And honestly, there are sometimes we feel like we're hearing voices, but we're not quite sure if they're of God. In this particular story, you see Jesus calling the first disciples, asking them to leave their familiar and enter into the unfamiliar, and they decide to say yes. But from time to time, you'll hear a voice asking you to do something in your life, and you might wonder whether it truly is God's voice or some other voice that's entered into your head. A pastor that I know tells a story about preaching at a conference filled with folks who were considering going into ministry, and many of these folks were young adults. They had gone to a conference to discern whether, in fact, this was God's calling on their life, and then the pastor made themselves available after that gathering for people to approach them and ask any questions about him and his ministry. Well, sure enough, this particular pastor made himself available, and one of the young people came to him in tears. The pastor asked, "What's wrong? What's going on in your life?" And the young adult shared with the pastor that he was in tears because he had heard a voice in his head that he believed was from God encouraging him or pushing him to take his own life. Perhaps you've heard voices in your head like that. We're entering into a moment where lots of people are struggling with mental illness, struggling with depression, struggling with anxiety, struggling with fear, and you might hear voices in your head asking you or encouraging you to do things that, quite frankly, are not of God. Maybe you'll think that it's God's voice whispering in your ear to do something terrible to yourself or for other people. Well, the pastor had the courage and the fortitude and the wisdom to ask this person what exactly it was that this voice was telling them, and they told a little bit more information about what they had been hearing, and the pastor said, I'm here to tell you that that's not God's voice. And the youth said, I how do you know? How are you confident of that? And he said, absolutely, I'm certain that it's not of God's voice. I mean, after all, Jesus told everyone when he came and preached and taught and healed amongst us that I've come to bring life and bring it abundantly, that God's promise is about living life to the fullest. And it would not be God's voice whispering in somebody's ear to take their own life. It would not be God's voice whispering in somebody's ear to do harm to somebody else in the world. It would not be God's voice whispering in your ear, causing you to do harm or destruction or cause pain in the life of somebody else. Well, how do you know that? Well, the voice that I hear of God that's consistent in Scripture is about affirming life, about affirming love, about affirming one's love for God and for our neighbors and for ourselves. That, after all, is the greatest commandment that Jesus gives to all of the people that he taught. To love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So some people, when they ask, you know, me if they believe that what they're supposed to do is God's will, one of the things that you can do is sort of measure it against the rest of the voices of God that we hear about in Scripture. If it's something that moves you into a deeper relationship with God, if it moves you into a deeper relationship with your neighbor, then you're probably justified in assuming that that voice, that that nudging, that that encouragement of the Holy Spirit is in fact from God. And if it's not, if it's encouraging you to do harm, if it's encouraging you to injure yourself or somebody else, I'm here to affirm that that's not something that God is calling you to do, that's whispering in your ear. Another way of testing the spirits is simply spending a little bit of time consulting your own spiritual life and journey, asking yourself, is this a voice that I've heard again and again and again in my life, or is this the first time that I'm hearing it? Oftentimes in Scripture, we hear stories about God continuously nudging, not just once, but multiple times, affirming a consistent calling in somebody's life. Another question that you might ask yourself when testing whether or not it is the Spirit of God speaking to you, encouraging you to do something, is whether or not it's good. My New Testament professor, Oswaldo Vena, Dr. Vena in seminary, asked the question, is anything that God ever asked anybody to do bad? And the answer is no. If God is good, if God is all-knowing, if God is all-powerful, then God will always be pushing you to do things that are good. A professor friend of mine is currently writing a book about this, asking questions about what is good. What is good in this world today? And links all of those things back to God's nudging. Ultimately, if you can answer that it's good, that you've heard it multiple times, that it's consistent with the voice of God that we experience in Scripture, and if it's consistent with the voice of God that you have heard throughout your life and affirmed in the church's teaching, then more than likely it is something that God is calling you to do, which doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. If you just follow the story of the four fishermen that Jesus calls on the shores of the Sea of Galilee through to the end of their life and ministry, you know that their journey was not easy. Peter repeatedly asked questions, doubted, denied Jesus three times, but ultimately, in the end, Peter was willing to put his own life on the line in sacrifice and an offering to the mission of God that Jesus called him to on this very day in this scripture that we read this morning. It's an incredible story about these men whose lives were completely transformed, and they found themselves going out and teaching and preaching about who this Christ was for them. Throughout this sermon series that we'll be preaching for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be asking you to think about experiences and moments in your life of faith that would cause you to break out of your comfort zone, to drop your nets, and to go out and fish for people. It's my conviction that these days people are hungry and asking questions that are deep and of God in this moment. People are wrestling with big issues of our time. This pandemic has uprooted all of our sense of normalcy. And my conviction is that there are probably many people in our lives that are hungering and thirsting for answers to the biggest questions. And in the next 3 weeks, we're going to be encouraging you to drop your nets as well, to cast them aside, to stop fishing, and to go out fishing for people. I want to ask you if there's anybody in your life that you believe that God is calling you to invite to an event happening here at the church. Maybe it's the Lansing Lugnuts baseball game in a couple of days next Friday. Perhaps it's inviting somebody to volunteer alongside you at the rummage sale. Perhaps it's you asking somebody to help us pack Noah lunches after worship today. Maybe it's you breaking out of your comfort shell and inviting somebody electronically to join us in worship next week. Maybe it's asking somebody to join us in person here in the sanctuary or down at Whitmore Lake. Maybe it's asking people to join us when we have our big fall kickoff event on September 12th. Or maybe it's an invitation down the road on September 26th when we gather at Whitmore Lake at 11 a.m. for a church-wide worship service. There are lots of different things you can invite somebody to participate here in the church. Maybe it's asking them to be a part of a quilting ministry. Maybe it's saying to them, I know you well enough to know that you have a problem. And my church has a fantastic AA program that meets every day at 12 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. And we would love to have you take a step forward in owning that you have a problem and turning around your life so it doesn't lead out to something worse. I was reading through some things that I saw on our Google page. And somebody had the courage to say that this was their home church, that they were plugged into this church. And as I read through the rest of the comment, they also shared that they found this church because they first started attending AA meetings here, and that now this was their spiritual home. I love that story because you never know how one step might lead to another. You never know how the beginning in an AA group might ultimately lead to a more robust and full spiritual life. I'm here to tell you that there are lots of front doors to our church. There are lots of ways to get involved. And if you're sitting there watching this video and you're like, Pastor John, I can get on board with certain aspects of church, but I don't know if I'm really ready to swallow the whole pill of this God thing. I don't know if I'm ready to profess my faith in Jesus Christ. I don't know if I'm ready to join a religious community. And I'm here to say that's fine. Just come serve alongside us. Help us quilts for folks who are recovering from significant medical procedures and operations. Help us by volunteering at Habitat for Humanity. Join us for one of the special events that are taking place at the church. Come and join us when we have the Livingston County Chorale sing here within our sanctuary. At the end of the day, I believe when the four disciples that Jesus approached on the shores of Sea of Galilee were first asked to drop their nets and follow Jesus, they had no idea who he was. It just began with a single act of trust. dropping the net, having the courage to set aside what we're doing and to simply follow Jesus into a deeper relationship with him. So I invite you to join me in this time of prayer, and I'm going to pray for you as you're watching this video. If this is your first step, I want to welcome you into a life-transforming journey of faith. Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the ways in which your Holy Spirit has called us to watch this video online, to join with the good people of Brighton and Whitmore Lake and others all around the world who are watching this video with us now. And God, we pray that you would speak to us in voices that we can hear, understand, and interpret, that we would be able to hear you, and that we would be able to listen and follow wherever you would have us go. God, we're grateful for your presence and your role in our lives, and we say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Allow me to follow in your footsteps. I'm ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, church. I hope you're having a fine morning. And I hope as we enter into the last few weeks of summer, you have an opportunity to get out, enjoy some of the good weather that we've been having. And I hope that you get out and enjoy some of the things that give you peace, give you rest, and give you joy. Now, would you go to God with me in an attitude of prayer? Gracious and glorious God, we come before you this morning humble, but anxious and eager to learn all the things you have in store for us at this time. We wait in eager anticipation of all the wonderful things we have coming into our lives as we try to put COVID-19 behind us. We know that through you and the Holy Spirit, our lives are touched as they can be touched by no other, to give us peace, to give us hope, and to give us reassurance that you are there for us, helping us, leading us, guiding us to find a better way. Just as Jesus asked those to follow him and become disciples, we know that we are called to spread your word and help make disciples of those in our lives, to help them live better lives, living by your word, with your teaching, and surrounded by your love. Lord, we ask blessings on all those in need of you at this time, those suffering from physical ailments, mental disorders, financial problems, relationship problems, and those that are just out there looking, seeking, wondering, waiting, not sure what their next step might be, not sure where they are headed, and not sure which way to turn. We want to guide them that the next step they take may be blessed by you and to a life full of your blessings. We pray for those suffering earthquakes in Haiti, wildfires out west, those in Afghanistan suffering with uncertainty, and even those that went without power due to the recent storms. We pray for your love, guidance, and strength to help all people through these troubling times. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, the state, and local leaders, that the decisions they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Now, in this time of silent prayer and meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples left their families and their lives behind, they spent much time learning from Jesus. But when they asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And now we repeat the prayer he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Well, I pray that you have an enjoyable day. I pray that you find some peace. I pray that you find some joy. So enjoy the rest of the service. And remember, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
In a spirit of prayer, I would invite you to lift up Susan Castor, who will be receiving one of the prayer quilts this week, as well as another beloved child of God. Will you please join with me as we pray for this beloved child of God, and as we pray for Susan, that they might know the love and the support of our church community behind them, and that they might know and be reminded that they're being wrapped in God's love as they receive these quilts. Let's take a moment and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray and lift up this day for Susan and our other beloved child of God. May you wrap them with your warm embrace. May you encourage them along their journey. In their time of struggle, in their time of needing to remind it of your loving presence, may our church become somebody who is present and there for them in their life. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we know that you are always with us through our times of struggle in life, not just through the joyful moments, not just through the mountaintop, but in those moments when we feel like we were walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Lord, help us to fear no evil because, Lord, you are with us always. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. And so wrap Susan and wrap this beloved child of God into your fold. Surround them with your love and care. Encourage them each and every day. Through Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. This past week, children gathered and youth gathered at our Brighton campus on Wednesday evening as we joined together in having a fun time of fellowship. We had splash night. Kids enjoyed slip and slides, water balloons were tossed amongst each other, squirt guns were sprayed, popsicles were enjoyed, lemonade was drank, and lots of fun and community building took place. As the kids were squirting each other with water guns and tossing water balloons in the air, quickly they discovered that some kids had water balloons and others didn't. And quickly, the kids wanted to share with each other to encourage the fun. They didn't just want to hoard the water balloons to themselves, but they gave generously so that other children could participate, so that other kids could have fun. Wednesday evening, when I was with the kids having a splashing fun good time, it made me start thinking about God's generosity. These children wanted to share all that they had. They wanted to make sure that all were included. They wanted to make sure that the fun continued, that everybody had a part of it. And it started making me think about God's generosity, and these children were sharing from a generous and a loving heart. Well, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we too are called to be generous, to share our water balloons if we have them, but to share all that that God has blessed us with. And so in this time and in this space, we would invite you to be financially generous, to share in what God has blessed you with, to back to God through the ministry of the church here at First United Methodist in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. So I'd invite you to go online and share of your financial generosity. I'd invite you to mail in your check to the church or stop by during the weekday and share your offering. May you give generously. May you give abundantly. May you give joyfully, just as the children and the youth did in sharing their water balloons. We always have so much to learn from children and these young people. And just by sharing a water balloon, it brought joy, it brought life. Let's give generously and share just as the children did. Our God.
stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
Friends, thank you so much for joining us online this week. We hope that this service was a blessing for you as you gathered with us for worship. I want to let you know about a couple of things going on here at the church. First of all, a group of us is going to the Lansing Lugnuts baseball game later this week on Friday. We hope that if you are able to join us, that you can. We'd love to have you with us. In addition to that, we're really excited about the rummage sale taking place at our church this week. If you know anybody who would like to donate items or drop things off, we encourage you to do so. And in addition to that, if you know anybody who would like to come shop and find the treasure that they've been looking for their whole life, we encourage you to do that as well. All of those dollars that we raise in the midst of the rummage sale will be used for mission, to advance the mission of the church and to share with our mission partners through the United Methodist Women of our church. We're so excited about this fall. As I mentioned earlier in my message, we've got wonderful worship services coming up for the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about invitation. We're going to be talking about inviting people to join this family of God. In addition to that, we've got some exciting events coming up in September on the 12th, where we'll be passing out third grade Bibles, and on the 26th, where we'll have a special all-church worship service at our Whitmore Lake campus. We can't wait for those experiences, and we hope that you'll take an opportunity to invite people to be a part of that ministry. As we close our worship service today, I just want to encourage you, if you're interested, to stick around at the conclusion of this worship service. We are going to be playing the video of our drama ministry program that took place last week in the sanctuary here. The program is about 45 minutes. If you'd like to watch it, we encourage you to stick on the live feed and continue to watch it. It will also be available later on in the week through our Facebook page, so we encourage you to watch if you are able to on that platform. With that, I'd like to close our service by saying I pray that you will go out into the world with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.
Today's Young People's Worship Arts Theater Camp performance is called Back to the Beginning. For 1 week, 34 hours of rehearsal, games, snacks, luncheons, 27 kids learn to sing, dance, and tell the story of God's great creation. And now, the Young People's Worship Arts team brings you Back to the beginning.
Let me write our favorite to your coach. Come on, sports fans. Norman has an epic story to tell us. path of the adventure of a lifetime.
Pictures? What didn't happen?
Well, I didn't take any pictures. I have a flip phone.
What? What's the point?
What? Where'd you get that? Hand it over. Oh, no. It can't be. I know that sound.
It's a bird, isn't it? Why did I hold it?
Everybody, stay here. I'll go investigate. Finn, what are you doing here? And why are you using the time machine? After our last adventure, we agreed we'd never use it again.
I know, but I figured taking it on a quick spin wouldn't hurt. You know, for a good cause.
What cause?
I wanted to impress my new friends.
The Rigsby sisters?
Well, they're kind of making fun of me for not stealing energy drinks and candy at the store with them. So I kind of told them about the machine.
You took them to see it? I can't believe you would tell those two about the machine.
I know, but they called me a liar and a baby, and they just took them to see it.
Took them? Where are they now?
I sort of lost them.
You sort of lost them?
In the Garden of Eden.
In the Garden of Eden?
Are you going to repeat everything I say?
Not in the...
Patrice, I told you to stay by the campfire.
It's a bear, isn't it? I have to know.
No, it's not a bear. It's a time machine.
Sorry, Nolan. I couldn't keep them there any longer. Where did you guys find this thing?
Is it even safe? It looks so old.
It looks pretty cool. You just want the button.
Who knows what damage could be done to the space-time continuum if we leave the Rigsby's in the Garden of Eden?
Bruh, I think you're watching too many old movies. It will all be good.
I hope I don't regret this.
Everyone, it's a machine. I'm going to tell you this.
Everyone, hold on. Here we go.
Beginning, 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 beginning.
personal recent history exploration buttons. Like all the recent exploration buttons.
Exactly, so now they're in the queue. Right, still got it on him.
This is bad, this is very, very bad.
At least it's okay now. Want to try my poison today? Thanks, Tom. Maybe later. Thank you, Dad, for chocolate moms.
Nice to meet you. So, Finn, what is going on?
Basically, the time machine queue is full, which means, well, simply put, I took an elevator. We are on the top floor, but Marissa just pushed all the buttons, and we will have to stop at each floor before we get to our destination.
The beginning.
Yeah.
And
we better get the ball going.
Thank you.
time. And I've even started wondering if God is real. Billy, I know it's not what I'm supposed to say as a good Christian, but tell me this. If God is real, why won't he fix it? I mean, isn't he all powerful? I've always been told that God loved me, but now I'm not so sure. Wow, I had no idea you were going through all that. I'm really glad you told me, because I kind of felt that
Sorry to interrupt, but it's time to go.
Okay. Come on, everyone!
Flashing lights might give you a seizure. socks.
I think we can totally rock to that school this year.
Are you all finished? I mean, it's not like the fate of the universe rests in our hands.
Oh, right. Got caught up in the disco. Back to the machine, guys.
Yes, in the Bible it says Satan appeared as a light, bright and shining, but it's really just a slithery snake.
Snakes. Ugh. Not about that. 25% of snakes are poisonous.
Yeah, they can be really hard to spot.
Thank you.
Sometimes it might work out, but not all the times. That can be really mean. That's where we need God's guidance, and that's where Jesus comes in. Jesus set a lot of good examples on how we should act. Like his number one rule of loving God and loving the people around you.
Sometimes, when the thing that seems right ends up being the wrong choice.
So, how do we know that our choices are the ones that God wants?
I know. But when you can think between which choice is the more loving one versus the one that's more self-centered.
Yeah, it was really nice talking to you guys. What was your name again, dude?
Finn.
Finn. I'll pray for you. What a cool name. Look me up in the book when you guys get back from camp. Name's David Matheson.
Look him up?
Like, on Google?
Did he say David Masterson? I think so. Are you okay? You look like you've seen a ghost.
I think that was my dad! Show me, Flyer. You're probably okay.
Yeah, just let us know if you start disappearing from your family photo or something.
Thank you.
right, guys?
Yeah.
And here, we can still trust in God.
Right, and we can trust that He will always be with us.
Yeah. Michelle Wenzel. She helped us all week during camp. And was sewing also. And Bart Carroll, Terry, who helped me cut out lots of customs this